Chapter 4 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to preach this in two parts, Lord willing. I'm going to give five things this morning and five things this evening, so be sure to be here this evening. Pray for Darrell and them. They're traveling or getting on the boat this morning in Louisiana. I think they're probably already there, I guess. So remember them. They'll be gone all week, and they'll be traveling again on the following Sunday, I believe. So pray for them. Good to have our visitor come in after we got started singing. Appreciate you being in service this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one of another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help us for just a little bit this morning. Lord, as we preach what we feel you've laid on our heart. And God, as the thought says, Lord, we realize that we are living in the light of the last days. As we look around, we see things that's taking place. Lord, the wickedness that's in the world and all the things that's shaping up, Lord, for the soon return of Christ. Lord, and I just pray now that you'd help us for just a little bit. Lord, if there's one lost under the sound of our voice or maybe watching by the way of the webcast, I pray that you speak to that heart this nearest eternity. Lord, I pray your people be encouraged, Lord, to stand and to live in this day that we're living in. Have your way, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. There in verse 7 again it said, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Well, we look around, and if you've read your Bible very much at all, you would have to say that coming of the Lord is upon our generation. The Christians of the early church, I believe, was expecting Jesus to come in their day. So I believe that we could safely say, even come quickly, Lord Jesus. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, he said, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." I believe those early Christians and there in the early church was expecting the Lord Jesus to come even in their lifetime. And as we look around, we can see those things taking place, shaping up for the soon coming of the Lord in our day. And the Bible tells Luke chapter 21, there's Jesus what gave several signs to look for concerning His coming. Verse 28 says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." I believe that our main responsibility as believers is to live for and to look for Jesus to come. Hey, we must all live with an attitude, I believe, of expectancy. How we live and serve Him today will determine our judgment and our joy on that day when He does come. But but our expectancy should not be turned to slumber. And I'm afraid in this day that we're living in, I'm afraid that the church is in a state of sleeping and slumber as we look around and we see things taking place. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 5, said, "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." And in our text this morning, I believe that we can see 10 commandments here to keep us alert in serving the Lord until He comes. And I want to look at 5 of those things this morning and 5 this afternoon, Lord willing. And first of all, in the light of the living in the last days, I believe that we should be sober. In verse 7, there again, the Bible says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." So, in the light, and as I've titled this morning, Living in the Light of the Last Days, I believe that we should be sober-minded in this day and hour that we're looking at, living in, as we look around and we see the things taking place in our lives and all around in this world that we're living in. That word sober means to be of a sound mind. I believe that God would have us not to think wildly, but soberly concerning His plan for His people in this day that we're living in. Hey, there's a lot of people that sets dates and claim to know the name of the beast and things which that we can't know really in reality is studying the Word of God. A lot of people get far-fetched in their thinking about the second coming of Christ, but I believe that you and I that are believers that have read our Bible, I believe that we ought to be sober-minded and to the reality that Jesus is coming. And I believe that He's coming very soon. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, there when the disciples, the apostles, and those that were watching Jesus ascend back to heaven said, the Bible said, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." Being sober-minded, I believe, means that our minds are focused and fixed on what they should be on, and that's Jesus Christ and His coming, His soon return. And as we look around today and we take notice of the things that even in our county and the surrounding counties that's going on today, we've never seen a lot of things that's taking place today that's going on around this world and this globe. And I believe that this morning that if there's ever been a time that you and I as believers should be sober-minded and have our mind fixed and centered upon the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ and living a life that would be pleasing to the Lord when He comes, and to be anxiously expecting the trumpet to sound and Jesus to come in the cloud, I believe it's the day that we're living in. I've heard it preached all my life and different places and a lot of things about it that I don't understand. But there's a lot of things that I do understand. And I do understand the fact that Jesus is coming and we need to be ready to go. If you're not saved this morning, you need to make sure, hey, that you've been saved and get saved. If the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart, and you need to get that nailed down, because I'm going to tell you, it's going to take faith if you're going to live in the days that lies ahead and the coming of Jesus in this day that we're living in. It's going to take some real faith, hey, that's sound, and that a person that's living sober-minded and under the realization, hey, that it could take place at any moment. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, hey, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work." I believe time's running out. And if there's ever been a time, hey, that we need to be looking for Jesus and the soon return of Christ, it's today. I believe that we should be ministering. We should be doing what we can to get people saved, to get
for the church to be what God expects us to be when He comes back in His soon return. And if there's ever been that day, I believe it's today. Hey, we must live our lives as if Christ might return at any time. Hey, I believe that there's nothing in the Bible that has to be fulfilled. I believe in the imminent return. I believe that He could come at any moment. The sound of the trumpet could sound, and we're going to get out of here, and we're going to meet Him in the air. And then we need to be sober-minded in this aspect of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be sober in light of living in the last day. Number two, I believe that we should be watchful unto prayer. There in verse 7, the Bible said, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." And watch unto prayer. If we live sober-minded, I believe we will be watching unto prayer. If there's ever been a time that God's people, I believe, needs to be praying and watching for the return of Christ and praying that we stay true and stay faithful. That we look around, we see people that's throwing in the towel. We see people that's giving up. Hey, we see people that's getting weak in this day and hour that we're living in. If there's ever been a time, hey, that we need to watch into prayer, it's today that we're living in. That word watch means to keep awake and to be spiritually alert. This world is not expecting Jesus to come. Don't seem like. Overall, we see the wickedness of men that's getting greater. We hear of things that's taking place. Even here in our county, the killing of individuals, the young man that was killed just the other day. We were talking about that in Sunday school. These things that people seem like, seemingly people have no conscience anymore, and it seemingly they just do all kinds of wicked things. And you even hear of children that's being taken advantage of, and things that's going on in this world that's unspeakable today. And if there's ever been a time, hey, that the church needs to be watchful and praying, I believe it's the day that we're living in. Watching unto prayer means to be alert in our prayer life. Hey, there's no place for apathetic or routine prayer in this day and hour in which we're living in. But I'm afraid that's what goes first a lot of times is our prayer life. We get so busy and we get so caught up in the things of this world that we seemingly don't have time to fellowship on a regular basis, and we don't have the time, hey, to get in the secret place, into the closet alone with God a lot we used to. It seems like, hey, we're just, our time is so caught up in the things of this world and time is fleeing. We're always talking about how time's flying by. We went camping the other day when we left on Monday, and we got there, and it just seemed like before it was over, the week was over, it was gone. I mean, we look around and time is just flying by. And when I was a boy, I remember getting up on Saturdays and watching cartoons and different things when I was a little feller, and it seemed like the day would never get over. And even when we used to go to school and started the school and the grammar school and up through high school, it seemed like the days were so long and they would never end, and we couldn't wait for that last 5 minutes of school for the bell to ring. But now we get up in the morning and it seems like the bell's ringing before the day's over. It should be over. And it seems like we've just got to the place of just routine and apathetic prayer in our lives. We don't pray like we should. Hey, we don't pray like we used to. We don't get alone with God. Hey, we don't have that time of fellowship, hey, that we should have. And I'm afraid that when we fail to watch and pray, hey, then the enemy gains an advantage on us. And I believe that's why we're seeing churches that's in as bad a shape as we are today. And we see people that's not concerned about their spiritual life and where they are spiritually with the Lord, and the things that's going on that used to bother us don't bother us anymore. It don't bother us, all the wickedness and the things that taking place around us. The murders. The immorality. I mean, it's the abnormal has become normal in the day and hour that we're living in. And I'm afraid it's because, hey, we're not watchful unto prayer. We've been lulled to sleep by the devil and by the enemy today. And we're seeing things that's taking place that's unreal. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 to 44. Hey, the Bible says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Hey, we live our lives a lot of times like we're not expecting Jesus to come. Hey, that we're just expecting life to continue and go on as it always have. And we're not too concerned about our loved ones that's dying and going to hell. Hey, we're not too concerned about those that we're coming into contact with on a daily basis. And friend, this morning I'm afraid, hey, there's going to be a lot of blood that's going to be required at our hands because, hey, we weren't watchful unto prayer for those that we should have been. He said, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known and watched the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Verse 44 says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Hey, the greatest gauge, I believe, of our commitment to the Lord Jesus today is our thinking and our praying. What is our thinking on most of the time? It's on the things of this world. It's on the carnal things. It's on the fleshly things that's not going to amount to anything. Hey, when it's all said and done, hey, but what we're going to give an account is our thinking that should have been stayed upon Jesus, upon the Word of God, upon the things of God, upon what the will of God for our life and what God would have us to do. If our thinking and praying is right, I believe our living should be right. Hey, it's hard to get people to live right and to do right in this world that we're living in today. It seems like every man does that which is right in their own eyes. I believe, hey, we're living in that day that Judges talked about over there, that last verse in the Bible said, "And every man did that which was right in their own eyes." Hey, we've got to the point and place that church people don't even care what God thinks about anything anymore. It used to be people were concerned about living and pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, but I'm afraid that our praying and our watching has got to the point that we just don't care anymore. We just want to live our life and be left alone. Hey, we don't want to accomplish what seems like anything for God in this day that we're living in. Our churches are dying on every hand. I mean, it used to be you'd hear of revivals taking place and people getting saved, people getting right with God, and churches growing. It was once said, hey, the church out here in Atlanta had the fastest, largest and fastest growing Sunday school in the area. I mean, they were growing by leaps and bounds, and they'd go out in the neighborhoods, they'd buy buses, they'd bring bus people in, and you don't hear of that much anymore. In the buses that you see, they'll have two or three people on them when they come to church because people are not concerned about their spiritual condition and where they're going to go when they die. You're going somewhere. There's one of two places, friend, this morning. Hey, that you're going, and your loved ones are going. They're either going to heaven or they're going to hell. And it's that time, high time that we were watchful unto prayer and we're looking for Jesus to come and we're expecting Him to come at any moment. Not only this morning should we be sober-minded and watchful unto prayer, but also, I believe, number three, we're to be loving. We're to be loving. Verse 8 said, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves." Brother Chris was talking about that basically in Sunday school this morning, how we treated others, how we treat our enemies, how we react when things are done against us. What takes place, and it's sad today, hey, that as we look and we think about things that's happened in the churches, and if we'd had that right kind of love in our hearts, one toward the other, hey, that we could have overlooked a lot of things that had happened and took place in our lives. I believe love is what differentiates believers from the rest of this world. I believe it makes a difference if you're a believer and how you love people that you come into contact with. Hey, those that do you wrong, those that cut you off, hey, those that whatever might take place in your life, I believe when our love is right, it'll make a difference in how we react. 13 verses 34 through 35, the Bible said, "A new Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I believe that when God saved your soul, I believe He put a love in your heart, hey, that was never there before. I believe He put a love for Jesus in your heart. When you think about, hey, what Jesus done, the suffering that He suffered there on the cross, the agony that was on His life there as He walked up Golgotha, and He knew, hey, that He was fixing to lay down His life for the worst of this world. Hey, He was going to shed His blood. Hey, it ought to make us love Him more every day that we live. But sad to say, many churches, I'm afraid, have left their first love this morning. So they also have lost their love for the others that they come into contact with. There was a day. Can I say again, there was a day, even when I was growing up, hey, when Christians seemed like they loved lost people more than they do now. They were more concerned about lost people than they are in this day and hour that we're living in. Our prayers amount to about, Lord, bless me and my four and no more. Hey, but if there's ever been a time we need to be watchful into prayer and pray that our love for sinners would increase and our love for one another, I believe if our love is right, we won't have to worry about people getting upset in the house of God and things that goes on between individuals and cause them to get knocked out of going to church and being a part of church. I've seen it time after time. Hey, when people gets mad or they get their feelings hurt and they leave the house of God, if their love had been right, they would have stayed with the stuff. I believe this love must be fervent there in verse 8 again. That word fervent means without ceasing. It implies that love will go to any lengths. He said, charity never fail. That word charity means, the literal meaning of that word is love in action. Charity never faileth. I believe this morning that if we got the right kind of love and our fervent love for Jesus, hey, it'll cause us to love sinners more and more every day. Hey, it'll cause us to love one another. It'll cause us to put up with one another. We've all got little quirks and little things, hey, that others don't like and that we see even in our own lives that we don't like in our lives. But if we've got the right kind of love, I believe it'll cause us to love others. I marked a passage of Scripture. Let's see if I can find it. Verse 10 of Romans chapter 13 said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so we see this morning that if we've got the right kind of love of God, and if we care about the things that people, where they're going to spend eternity, I believe it will increase our love more and more. Instead of driving people away, I believe it'll draw people to Christ. Another passage here, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. When our love is right, I believe it'll cause us to live at peace with one another, even when someone does something against you. I told a young man that here one time that there was a little problem that had cropped up, and I told him, I said, well, the Bible said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I may have quoted it a little bit, maybe a little bit different, but something happened. He questioned what I meant. He said, I thought I was living peaceably with all men. Well, if we're living peaceably with all men as much as lieth in us possible, it won't cause us to question when somebody says something to us like that. It'll cause us to overlook your quirks and my quirks. The things that you don't like about me, you'll be able to overlook. Hey, I may say something something wrong while preaching sometimes. I may not mean it the way that it comes out and the way it may sound to you. I believe if we've got the right kind of love, hey, we'll overlook maybe the wording in a message or something that's been said. Fervent love. Fervent love. Someone said the word pictures. That word pictures an athlete that's straining to reach a goal. It speaks of eagerness and intensity. A Christian love is something we have to work at just as the athlete works on his skills for the sport. Hey, love don't come natural a lot of times. But I'm glad that what God puts in us when He saves us, I'm glad the love of God, hey, will cause us to work that love out and work at that love in others as we should. A lot of times we don't love others as we should because of something in our own life. This suppressing, hey, the love of God that He's put inside our heart. It's not a matter of emotional feeling. Hey, though that, I believe that's included. Hey, but of dedicated will in an individual's life. Christian love means that we treat others the way that God treats us. Obeying His commandments in the Word. Hey, it's even possible to love people that you don't like. Hey, when you work at it and you work at loving as God loves you. God loves us no matter what we do. Well, God ain't a little old man that's sitting up on the throne, hey, that's waiting to beat us over the head. He knows what we're made of. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we'll do in any given situation. And I'm glad this morning that He is a God of love. I believe this love must not only be fervent, but I believe it also must be forgiving. There in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Love doesn't condone sin, but love covers sin, and that love motivates you and I to hide the sin from others and not to spread it abroad. The world has enough ammunition this morning against God's people without us giving them more. I believe what happens here at church, they should stay at our church. If one falls or commits sin, we need to pray for that individual, not spread it all over town. I've heard stories that's been spread about churches all my life. I've been raised in church. I grew up in church. I was a pastor's son. And I've heard tales of things that happened in church that shouldn't never got out of the church. There's things that's happened here that never should have left the walls of this church. Just went out in the community. And others know. Somebody gets in sin, we all want to gossip about. We want to talk about, hey, that one that messed up. If there's ever been a time that we need to love one another, I believe it's today. Love will cover a multitude of sin. And I believe this morning if we've got the right kind of love, hey, we can have a forgiving spirit about us to those that does us wrong. Those that we just, but most of the time, hey, we want to get back at that individual. If somebody says something sharp to us, hey, we want to say something sharp back to them. We're always thinking about what we're going to say instead of listening to what somebody said, instead of giving a word of exhortation back to them, hey, we want to give them a word of a condemnation. We want to get back. Forgiving one another. A lot of times people get angry, they say things that we all do. We all do. We have to work on that. Even married couples, we have to work at what we're going to think about what we're going to say before we say it. Because a lot of times in a fit of anger or emotion, hey, we'll say things that we shouldn't. I've done it, you've done it. We need to have a forgiving spirit. Somebody messes up and gets in sin, hey, we need to consider our own selves. Ain't that what Galatians says? I believe it's Galatians chapter 6. Let's turn over there and see if that's right. I believe it's Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, brethren. He's talking to believers. When Paul says brethren, he's talking to those who have been saved by the grace of God. He said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Somebody else gets into sin. Hey, you better consider, hey, what they've got into and consider yourself, because we're all vulnerable today. We need to be watchful in prayer. We need to be sober-minded. Hey, we need to be what God wants us to be and have a forgiving spirit. Be loving. And then, not only should we be sober and watchful in prayer and be loving, but also I believe we should be sincere in hospitality. Verse 9. He said, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hey, that word hospitality, according to Webster's, means kindness to strangers and guests. I believe in a world in which we live, hospitality is a lost virtue today. I've went in churches and people never speak to me. People not speak to me, but maybe not make you feel welcome. They may speak to you half-heartedly. This lady walked in. I don't know who she is. I don't think I've ever seen her. We need to be hospitable to her. We need to make her feel welcome this morning. I hope she feels welcome. I believe Christians should be the most hospitable people that there is. When I was taking Dr. Taft's Bible course and we went down there, he taught his people to be. They were the most hospitable people that I've ever seen. It didn't matter. They would put people up in their homes if they didn't even know them. They offered us to stay with somebody. They were very hospitable people. And I believe that we ought to be able want to open our home to individuals, hey, that may not have nowhere else to turn. We ought to be hospitable. And I know you got to be careful if somebody you don't know, but you know, among Christian believers, you know what I found out among believers? Most of God's people are good people. I mean, we have problems. I've known some people that I didn't think about was going to get in sin. They got in sin. But overall, I'm going to tell you, hey, God's people is good people. And we ought to be hospitable to them. We ought to do what we can to help one another when things happen in our lives. We ought to be hospitable. We ought to be willing to go that extra mile. And I know today you got to be careful, but I'm going to tell you, overall, hey, we need to be hospitable to people and loving to people. Exodus chapter 22, verse 21 says, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress them, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Hey, when we show hospitality, I believe we're reflecting God's hospitality to you and I this morning. Hey, He's promised to go and prepare a place for us with Him and receive us to Himself. As Jesus said, I go to prepare a place, and if I go away, I will come again. He's coming again. He's been gone for 2,000 years. He's been preparing a place for you and now this morning. Hey, and He's going to be hospitable. He's going to receive us unto Himself. We're going to have a home like we've never had before. Hey, we're going to have a little piece of heaven one of these days. We need to be hospitable and as we go through this life. Just as Jesus is going to receive us, I believe we should be willing to receive others. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 said, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Luke chapter 6, verse 30 says, give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. I believe this is to be done without grudgingly doing it there in verse 9. He said, use hospitality one to another without grudging. What we do, we ought not give it grudgingly. Hey, if we're going to do something, we ought to do it freely. Without any questions. And if we're not going to do that, we just might as well not do it. Not only should we be sober and watchful in the prayer and be loving and be sincere in hospitality, but also I believe we're to be ministering. We're to be ministering. Verses 10 to 11, he said, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That word minister means to be a servant. It means to be a servant. Hey, we're to serve with gladness of heart. Hey, if we're called upon to do something, we ought to minister with a glad heart to be able to do that. Psalms 100, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. I mean, it's a blessing this morning to do something for God. Hey, and I believe we ought to use what God has given us and minister in the area that He's given us to minister in. Not try to be something that we're not, hey, but to be what He's made us to be. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I believe true love serves this morning. Each Christian, I believe, has at least one spiritual gift to use for the glory of God and the building up of the church, whatever that gift might be. I believe God has given everyone a gift. The gift that I have may not be as glorious, seemingly, as someone else's gift. Hey, but I ought to use the gift that God has given me to the ability that He's given me to use it in. And you the same. You know, some people are just good at cleaning. Did you know that? Some people are good at cleaning. That's a gift. Men are not as gifted as women are at cleaning, I don't think. Now, some men are. Some men are gifted to do handiwork. Everybody is not gifted in the area of building and carpentry. But I'm glad that God has put individuals in churches. Some people are not gifted to teach as others are gifted to teach. We ought to be able to teach a little. If you're saved by the grace of God and you've been born again and you're part of the family of God, hey, we ought to be able to teach a little. But some people are better at teaching than others. Hey, a lot of preachers are better preachers than others. That don't mean that one that can't preach like another preacher can preach, his message is not as valuable. He's been given that area of ministering. I've always said this, I'll never be a great preacher. I've got to preach in the realm that God has called me to preach, and I have to work at it. I have to prepare. I have to get to that point in play. God gives you a gift, you use it to the ability that He gives you. Everybody don't have the same ability. Some of them preachers get through preaching and I say, man, where did they get that? How did they come up with that? Brother Gomez, he's just a gifted preacher. And that young man that followed him up there at his church, it's not going to come as easy to him as it did to Brother Gomez. I say that respectfully. That young man, he can only minister in the ability that God has given him. I've even asked myself, will he be able to hold that thing together? He's a good preacher. Brother Gomez is just different. Them older preachers, I'm going to tell you, hey, they're different. My daddy was different. Sammy Allen was different than these younger preachers, and some of these younger preachers are good preachers, great preachers. But I promise you, they don't have what some of them old guys have. They may have it up here. They don't have it here. I've never heard, and I'm just using him because y'all heard him, I've never heard Brother Gomez preach that he didn't give me some. And I'll tell you something else about it. If you watch him and listen to him, he sounds like he's talking down to you all the time. Preaching down to you, but he's not. That's just his mannerism. He cuts it close. He cuts it tight. And when you preach that book, you're going to cut it close. You're going to cut it tight. But some preachers have just, they can have the whole. I've seen some preachers, Brother Dwayne Moore, I seen him preaching down here at Fellowship Baptist Church one night, and he got through preaching. I mean, it was high. People was up shouting and praising God, and then he just cut it off. Brother Mark, he's a great preacher. He had to get up behind Brother Moore, and I thought, he got trying to get started, Brother Todd. I thought, he's fixing to flop. He was having a hard time. I mean, that thing had already got up so high, and he had to get up right behind him and preach. And he struggled for about 5 minutes, and I thought, well, I should have been praying for him. I probably was just thinking, you're fixing to flop. But then he got hooked up, and he preached a great message right behind Brother Moore. Preachers are different. Be ministering. Teachers are different. I've heard some teachers that can keep your attention. They can give you something. And then I've heard some teachers that they struggle. But they're teaching the Word of God. Maybe their oratory skills are not what someone else's is. But whatever your skill is, whatever your talent is, hey, we need to be ministering, especially in this day and hour that we're living in. Every member is necessary. Did you know that? Every member? Every member. Some people have got more time to do things. Brother Tim keeps the grass cut. He can fix things. I've done work around Tim. Look, he's gifted at fixing things. He uses that talent to do things. Others I've seen. Todd, he's good at whatever he does. Fixing cars, he's a perfectionist. That's good in some ways, in some ways it's not good. It causes you not. I know when we was painting down here. He was painting that window down there, and he just kept on. He said, I don't like the way that looks. He said, I don't like to do something if it ain't going to look good. Well, keep painting the thing. It'll get to looking better. Sometimes it takes a little bit to cover it up. You should be ministering. Hey, we need everybody to carry their own weight. Jesus is coming, I promise you that. It may be 10 years from now, I don't know. I'm not setting no dates. But I'm going to tell you what we need to be doing. We need to be looking. We need to be living like we're expecting Him to come. We need to be sober. We need to be watchful in the prayer. Hey, we need to be loving. We need to be given to hospitality. We need to be ministering. Ephesians 4 verse 7 said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Ephesians 4 verse 12-13. The Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What has God given to each of us this morning? He's given us time. Psalms chapter 90 verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." The Bible talks about over in Ephesians, redeeming the time that God's given us. If there's ever been a time, hey, that you and I need to redeem the time that we have, we always talk about time and time and how it's running out and how fast time is flying by. It's flying by so fast, I can't keep up with what happened last year, hardly. The older you get, the faster time flies. He's given us time. He's given us talent. Everybody has a talent. Utilize and use what God's given you. Luke chapter 12, verse 48 said, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more." We've been given time. We've been given talent. We've been given testimony. We've all got a testimony. Psalms 23, verse 3 says, "He restored my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Hey, He's left us here for a specific purpose, and that's to be a testimony of the grace of God, what grace has done in our lives, where He's brought us from. Most important thing we have is our testimony. If you live for yourself, you're going to have a bad testimony. But if we live for Him, we can have a testimony that will honor God. As we await the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to be sober, we're to be watchful unto prayer, we're to be loving, be sincere in hospitality, and be ministering. I wonder this morning, are we doing these things while we're waiting for the soon return of Jesus? He's coming. This world's not looking for Him much. But I promise you, He's coming. Living in the light of the last days, if there's ever been a time, I believe that we need to be expecting, in a state of expectancy. I believe it's today that we're living in. Jesus is coming. Are you going? Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house this morning. Thank You for these that have come out today. Lord, I pray that You just ever bless each one by taking time to come to the house of God. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be expecting and looking for You. Lord, we realize You could come before we get home today, and that'd be all right. Lord, we've got a better place to go to, Lord. And we realize the older we get, the more that seemingly we think about heaven, where we're going after this lifetime. Life is over. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be in that state of expectancy because we know that You could come at any moment. We love You. Lord, I pray if there's anyone been here this morning that's not saved, Lord, that don't know You. For as we know, everyone has made a profession of faith here at Open Door, God. And I just pray, Lord, You'd have Your way in our lives. Help us to do what we can to be ministering in these latter days in which we're living in. In the light of the fact that You could come at any moment. We love You in Jesus' name. In Jesus' sake. Amen. You come